Hello, and welcome to another installment of the Lyricord Early and Classical Show, our regular podcast about early and classical music on Lyricord. And my guest co-host is Jeffrey Dooley, the countertenor. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, Nick. It's great to be here continuing this.
And we are going to continue our discussion on countertenors. Well, now, I was thinking that we might hear something else from this album. What are we going to hear now, Jeffrey?
Now, this is a duet called Me, O Ye Gods. Mm-hmm. And it's from a cantata called If Ever More Riches Did Desire by Purcell. Mm-hmm. It's a rather late cantata, not often performed. We transposed this. It's for a soprano and tenor originally, but we lowered it so we could do it as a duet. And this is an example of two voices merging together as one, and Ed Brewer's accompaniment is, I think, just an ideal picture of how to create a beautiful accompaniment, bringing out the meaning of the words by the way he creates a counter-melody in the accompaniment. And then the next piece is a totally different piece, also a duet, called Hail Gracious Gloriana, which is from one of the birthday odes for Queen Mary. Mm-hmm. So it's the two voices together, and in the recording, we doubled up on the instrumentation, and it looked kind of funny in the recording session because the recorder player and the bassoon player have to play both, because Dennis Godburn played both the bassoon and the recorder. So he had to switch from the recorder to the bassoon. So he had the recorder on a coat hanger in front of his music stand, draped across it so he could quickly pick up the put the recorder down and pick up the bassoon for the next verse. It was really fun to watch, and we started giggling, and so we had to do a lot of retakes. But a totally different contrast to character. One is extremely intimate, typical of Purcell. Probably Purcell's greatest thing are these amazing slow adagio things that bring out the passion of the words. Mm-hmm. And in total contrast is Hail Gracious Gloriana, which is simply this wonderful, happy piece praising the queen on her birthday.
Great. All right, well, let's give them a listen. Me, O Ye Gods, and Hail Gracious Gloriana, Hail.
Thank you.
Hail, Gracious Gloriana Hail. That to me has got to be one of the most perfect blendings of two voices ever recorded.
Thank you.
It just really, that couldn't be better. It's just two voices made to be singing together.
During the sessions, the sessions were done with Mark Oport and Joanna Nickrens, who were the Nonesuch engineers, marvelous mm-hmm. people,
right,
very
right.
professional.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the sessions, they came out from the recording room, which was done at Rutgers Church here uh-huh. on 72nd Street, and the parlor was the recording booth room. And at the end of the whole session, they came out, both Mark and Joanna, and said, "Would you just do Hail, Gracious Gloriana again for us?" So they sat down in the pews of the church, and we sang Hail, Gracious Gloriana
yeah.
again.
Well,
I mean, how often does something like that happen?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I'm not surprised. That's really just a masterpiece. So from Hail, Gracious Gloriana, I thought we might also play another track from this album, Be Welcome Then, Great Sir. Beautiful solo piece.
Yes, this is a ground bass song, and as I mentioned before, Purcell's use of the ground bass is, you could compare it to Bach's fugues. He's the master of the ground bass, taking a rather strict form, which is repeats over and over again, but each of his ground basses is very expressive of the text.
Mm-hmm.
So this one that was written for the king in one of his birthday odes called Fly, Bold Rebellion. And this piece had not been recorded, and I found it in England with another American countertenor who was there at the time that I was studying with Mark.
John Williams
was studying with Paul Iswood, the English countertenor.
Uh-huh.
So we got together a lot, and John played it over on the piano. He said, "I found this wonderful piece."
Wow.
And so I was determined to perform it when I came to New York. But I love the piece, and the bass line is very evocative because it's this tender song of admiration, as all these birthday odes were mm-hmm. to the king, and it's all about the mildness and gentleness of his rule.
Mm-hmm.
So the ground bass itself is a beautiful melodic line, quite complicated on its own, and the part above it, the voice line, matches it perfectly. And I'd like to point out to the listeners how Ed Brewer realizes the accompaniment, and I want to make sure that everyone understands what I mean when I say realizes.
Uh-huh.
What he does is, from the figured bass, the little numbers under the bass line, he creates the proper harmony. But the greatness of Ed is that not only does he create the harmony, but he improvises within the key an accompaniment that reflects the meaning of the words. And this goes through the whole recording.
Mm.
And this one is particularly wonderful because he uses the lute stop for one of the verses, and the gamba part also does pizzicato. So all of that explanation sounds rather dry, but the piece itself is, frankly, one of my very favorite pieces.
Yeah.
And it is very touching.
Well, let's give it a listen. Be welcome then, great sir.
Thank you.
Be Welcome Then, Great Sir. It's amazing that that song was not recorded ever before.
It is amazing, isn't it? It's immediately wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple things I'd like to point out to your listeners. These songs that have ground basses are almost all from other works. Mm-hmm. Odes, birthday odes. So the ground bass usually leads into an instrumental postlude where the four violins or the string orchestra does a series of variations and the ground bass continues. Mm-hmm. So in our case, when we did the song Alone, I chose to have the ground bass play one more time as if the piece was just continuing. So we mm-hmm. could have ended right at the cadence,
mm-hmm.
but I like the ground bass to run its way. So it introduces the song is sung, and then it ends with the ground bass trailing away.
Mm, yeah.
Another thing to point out is Purcell's use of the appoggiatura on the words mild. An mm-hmm. appoggiatura is a dissonant note that goes to a resolution.
Uh-huh.
He does this to emphasize the word mild. He could have said, so mild, so mild, mm-hmm. but he chose the appoggiatura. So mild, so
right.
mild. And he does this a lot in his mm-hmm. music to bring out the meaning of the words.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it would have been followed, as I mentioned, with the string orchestra. But in this piece, there actually are two recorder parts mm-hmm. that double the strings, which is unusual for Purcell's court odes.
Uh-huh. Huh. Well, it's just such a beautiful piece. I wonder if we want to play one more piece from this stellar album. This would be another duet again, Many, Many Such Days. You want to set this up, Jeffrey?
Yes, this is another ground bass piece, and the ground bass is completely different from Be Welcome Then, Great Sir. And it's all about the word many, and Purcell is a master of the English language, mm-hmm. probably more than any English composer. So he uses words over and over again. You remember in Be Welcome Then, Great Sir, he keeps using the word mild over and mm-hmm. over again. In this, he uses the word many over and over again.
Yeah, right.
And this is from a birthday ode for Queen Mary, and it's called Love's Goddess Sure This Day.
Wow.
And this one, there are two duets in this work, both for countertenors. And this one is a continuo accompaniment, and the continuo bass line is its own melodic line, very sprightly,
mm-hmm.
and it really accompanies the sort of flurrying of the two voices.
Uh-huh.
Also, by the way, in this one, we're using the bassoon as the bass line. It seems to call out for a bassoon accompaniment.
Uh-huh. All right, many, many such days.
Many, many, many such days may she behold.
Many, many, many such days may she behold.
Many, many, many such days may she behold.
Many, Many Such Days, Henry Purcell, performed by Jeffrey Dooley and Howard Crook on the album Airs and Duets that we've been listening to. That's another gem of a duet, countertenor and tenor. I thought what we might listen to now is the countertenor in an ensemble performance. We have Kevin Mull's group, Schola Discantis, several recordings. This one is called French Sacred Music of the 14th Century, mass settings from the Papal Chapel at Avignon. And this is, of course, 14th century, so we're turning the clock back again several hundred years. But these are individual mass movements. Actually, he set this up so you could program your CD player to listen to the mass movements.
So you could create an entire mass by moving it around to
I actually had heard that some people did that. I never did it myself. Yes. But in any case, Schola Discantis in this arrangement is two countertenors, Bradford Findell and John Delroy, and also tenors Peter McCabe and Arthur Rodding, and baritone Paul Guthrie.
Paul. I know Paul quite well, yes.
So I thought we'd listen to Cambrai, Agnus Dei, and this is from French Sacred Music of the 14th Century.
Thank you.
Very good.
That was an Agnus Dei from 1328, very early, by Cambrai. Anything you want to say about that, Jeffrey? That's two countertenors leading the way there.
There, we're on
leading
top.
Leading the charge.
We're on top. It's interesting, as we're listening, I was just reminded of countertenors have to be able to use their voices in different ways. So I've sung music of this period. Most of what we've been concentrating on is the Baroque, of the recordings that we've done together. But I've recorded on another label, an Ockeghem and a Dufay recording with the ensemble Pomerium on Nonsuch, where we had two countertenors and also a treble, a woman singing with us, Anne Manoyos, who your listeners might know of.
We have her on Lyricord in the Bach's Coffee
Right, yes. And also Howard Crook is in that recording, the Pomerium. That's where we met, actually, was in Pomerium doing the Ockeghem. But in this music, you hear the Latin pronounced in the French manner, which was done, of course, and should be still done today. Now we've accepted the pronunciation of sung church Latin in the Italian manner, which is sort of the universal decision today. But, you know, before Italian music took over, each country pronounced their Latin in the accent of their own language, because Latin was the international language.
Right.
So here we're hearing the U sound in French is pronounced U. So that's why you hear Peccato Mundi.
Right.
And these pronunciations affect how the music is interpreted, because medieval composers, as you can hear, will do long passage work on one syllable of a word. And you hear this long passage work on E or on U, and the movement is often in three, which was one of the observations of the Holy Trinity when you went into three beats. It was like an honoring of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost,
right,
our Trinity. And so you hear homophonic music with some polyphony, but this is very typical of the countertenor taking the treble part, or whatever the top part would be.
Right.
And it requires the voice to meld with the other voices. So you hear almost no vibrato here. Vibrato is something that was done a little later, but was still not used on every pitch as it is today.
Right.
It was used as a particular means of expression. But here, it could be easily doubled with viols, often was doubled with instruments, this music. Wind instruments, cornetti, viols, and even trombones or sackbuts would have been used in more ceremonial performances of medieval music.
Right.
In church, especially, people think, oh, church music didn't have instruments. Well, it had instruments often.
Yeah.
And if there weren't any singers, the instruments would play, often doubling the voices.
Well, let's take a break, and then we can come back and play some more, okay?
Very good.
Purcell, Airs and Duets. Jeffrey Dooley and Howard Crook. When this recording of Purcell's Airs and Duets first appeared, it touched off a firestorm of interest in one of England's greatest composers. This Purcell disc won worldwide recognition for American countertenor Jeffrey Dooley. This recording celebrates the work of this gifted artist together with internationally acclaimed tenor Howard Crook. From the 2009 Penguin Guide to Recorded Classical Music, Jeffrey Dooley has a truly beautiful voice and takes naturally to this repertoire. Tenor Howard Crook has a disarmingly personable vocal line, but it is when these two voices join together in duet that one's senses are truly ravished. Enjoy these sumptuous Purcell duets and solos by two of the finest voices of our time on download or CD at www.lyricord.com right away.
Jeffrey Dooley, you've had a long, extensive career as a countertenor. I understand you give master classes, too.
Yes, I do, and probably my favorite way of teaching is working with singers in Baroque interpretation and also how to improvise cadenzas. And I also teach English pronunciation for foreign students and business people, both in classroom settings and for private students as well. And I also lecture and serve on panels, that kind of thing.
Well, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach me through my manager, Melody Bunting International is the name of the organization, 155 West 72nd Street, room 604, New York, New York, 10023. And the website is www.melodybunting.com.
And the phone number?
212-799-4949.
Do you have an email address?
JeffreyMDooley@gmail.com.
I'm back here talking with Jeffrey Dooley on the Lyricord Early and Classical Music Podcast. Well, jumping around again, now we're moving up several centuries even further to a project you did, which I want to talk about. A few years ago now, you and I did a kind of an unusual project. We did an album of songs of Stephen Foster, realized for countertenor and baroque ensemble.
Yes, indeed.
Which is not something that comes along every day.
No.
You want to talk about that project
a little bit? And of course, it was you who said, well, let's do this. And it all started with a concert that I gave with the harpsichordist Catherine Koch, who has a solo recording.
Yeah,
on John Bolt. We're going to talk about. And we had done a series of summer concerts together, just Catherine and I. And this one we did, a Purcell, Handel, Bach, Monteverdi program. And I've always loved the song of Foster, Hard Times Come Again
Hard Times,
No More.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, why wouldn't we do this as an encore? It's a written out keyboard part. It's very simple and lovely. And maybe it would work with the harpsichord. So, as you remember, we did it. And everyone responded in the audience with such interest and... And so you and Catherine's father said, why don't you do a recording of Foster?
Right.
And you suggested. And I was about to say, well, we'll find a forte piano and a metal fife. And everyone said, no, you need to do this from your Baroque point of view, like you wrote the music. So we decided to do it and do Foster's music from a Baroque viewpoint. And it seems to work. People don't associate the countertenor voice with Foster or the harpsichord or the Baroque bassoon. But why not?
Sure.
Foster's music is treated in so many different ways.
Right. I was struck very early on that his parlor songs are very... They have very much of Dowland's sort of sensibility
to them. Yes, there's an influence there. Dowland, there's Schubert influence. Mm-hmm. There's some Purcellian influence. Mm-hmm. I doubt that Foster knew who Purcell was or Dowland, but certainly he knew who Schubert was.
Right.
And he sets the words. He wrote much of the poetry he wrote himself.
Mm-hmm.
The best ones, I think, are the ones where he wrote his own poetry.
Yes.
It has similar qualities, and it has an affective kind of style, the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We found some of the songs in different collections. It's got an interesting response. No one knows quite how to categorize
it.
What's he doing singing that music?
Right.
But, you know, I really don't see any reason why countertenor can't do things of whatever his choice is, you know. So, it's our approach to it. It has some ornamentation. The instrumentation is being done. Several of the songs have a choral refrain. Since I was the only singer there, I sort of instrumentated the choral refrains with a Baroque bassoon, Baroque cello, two recorders, and Randy Crafton playing real Civil War drums,
which
you'll hear in
and of course Leah Nelson plays
and Leah Nelson,
played
several violin
parts.
Yes,
actually.
Yeah. So it's a way of doing his music, and we also had the fortunate to have Ken Emerson, who wrote the most recent biography of Foster at that time, to come to our. We did a concert, of course, first of it before we recorded it. And Ken came to the concert and talked a bit about the different songs.
Right, and then he wrote the liner notes.
He did the liner notes as well. And so the two we're going to do is Linger in Blissful Repose, which is one of the great parlor songs, and typical of the 19th century in America, that sort of Civil War time period.
Mm-hmm.
It's very winsome quality.
and then campaign song ended.
Right.
Mm. We are coming, Father Abraham.
Uh-huh.
When he was running for president again. And there we use all the instruments and orchestrate the chorus and the drums play. And it's certainly no countertenor was heard in Pittsburgh at that time, I don't think.
All right. Well, let's listen to those two and then we'll come back.
Coming, 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 for your young to his call.
Program copyright 2009 Lyricord Discs. All rights reserved. The next episode of the Lyricord Early and Classical Show podcast pays tribute to the career of the late Joseph Iadone, lutenist and pioneering figure in the American early music revival.
Remarkably, he was primarily self-taught and studied Elizabethan techniques he found in his own research.
He was a very private person, and this is often the case of people who are autodidacts.
Various aspects of Iadone's life and music are discussed, along with examples of performances on the Lyricord Early Music series. Don't miss the next Lyricord Early and Classical Show podcast.